Thanks, Ken. It's lovely to be here. It's really wonderful to spend a week in the Creation Museum, and we feel really blessed being here. And in every corner in this place, you find the gospel is displayed. And the effect of your ministry all over the world is just wonderful. Every time I think of you, I remember Paul's words to the church in Philippi. I thank my God every time I remember you, being confident of this, that he who had begun a good work in you will carry it on to the completion until the day of Jesus Christ. So this is our prayer for you as well. Coming to the Creation Museum, I'd like to take your attention to your favorite book in the Bible, if you like, if you have any favorites, and that's the book of Genesis. And I think it's a brave preacher to come to speak to you about Genesis. You are the expert. But what I'd like to do really this morning is to take a week in the life of Noah. And I'd like to imagine what was the most difficult week in the life of Noah. Was it the first week when the Lord commanded him to build this massive building without seeing any rain before or anything like that? I'm sure he couldn't sleep that night. It was a difficult day. But take his life further on. It might be in the middle of this massive project. He had a very terrible week because things are improving, but slowly, and there is nothing much happening around him, and he is really in trouble. That can be a difficult week. But to my mind, really, the most difficult week in the life of Noah, according to me, is the last week before the flood. And let us see what the Lord said. The Lord then said to Noah, "Go into the ark, you and your whole family, because I have found you righteous in this generation. 7 days from now, I will send rain on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights." Imagine the whole project is complete, the animals in places, everything in order, and the family inside this big building, and day one goes and nothing happened. Day two goes and nothing happened. Day three goes, nothing happened. Till the completion of that week. I think the Lord tested his patience that week. It was really, really tough on him, I think, and the whole family. But probably we live in the same week, like Noah. In Matthew, we read these very familiar verses. "As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in these days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away." So probably your ministry is in that week of excitement after the completed work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, our real ark. And the ministry of answers in Genesis is to communicate the good news of God before the final judgment. In Luke, we read these words, "When these things begin to take place," the Lord talking about the future, "what should we do? Stand up." And I think the ministry of answers in Genesis is standing up to tell the truth of the God and the truth of creation. So our job as Christians to stand up, lift up your heads. And this is the message of encouragement that I would like to leave with you. Stand up as you are doing. Get courage, brothers and sisters. Lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing near. I'd like quickly to give you a quick report about our involvement with Answers in Genesis and our plans for taking this ministry forward. I'll take you to the day of Pentecost, the day where the Lord sent the maximum power, his Spirit, to live among us because Jesus completed the work. And Luke reports in Acts chapter 2, "Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews, look, from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came in together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language." And these are the languages that's mentioned in the book of Acts. And I'll just keep going through them because I'm interested in two of them. So keep going. Now we start to get interested. There were Egyptians in the day of Pentecost. Imagine that. And they heard their own language. At that time, Egyptians didn't speak Arabic. And there were Arabs from Arabia on the day of Pentecost, and they heard the language. And our prayer and hope is to take this ministry of answers in Genesis into the language of the Spirit that was spoken on that day to Egypt and to the whole Arab world. This is really what is in our hearts. The plan is to translate the answers in Genesis website into Arabic and post that on the internet. And I'm sure lots of young people and older people are using the internet. And imagine the wealth of information that you have on this website will be translated into Arabic, and 350 million people will have access to that. The next thing we want to do is to translate answers in Genesis books and publish them in Arabic. And this material is not available at all in Arabic world, and by God's grace, we are going to do it. We would like to have the production of TV program Walk Through the Creation Museum. And imagine this wonderful museum that you enjoy here will be available to the Arabic-speaking people on the internet and on satellite television. We would like to produce programs and debates, and Ken Ham is behind the camera here. We will keep doing that and starting debates with the Arabic-speaking people. We'd like to have a sort of an AIG Arabic version, if you like, for the Middle East, based in Cairo. And from that place, we'll be able to influence the culture in the Middle East. And I can assure you it will be a tough job. But we are not worried, because the same Spirit that came on the day of Pentecost will lead us and guide us in this. We'd like to run seminars and training courses and to educate the educators, if you like, because there is a lot of false teaching, unfortunately, invading the church. And the church is God's vehicle to communicate to the world. So if the church is wrong, there is no chance, really. I'll take you quickly to what we are involved in Scotland. Through lots of few events, God opened doors for me to go and visit the schools to teach the books of the Bible. In Scotland and in Britain, there is religious and moral education is part of the curriculum from 5 to 14 age group. And I was appointed as a member of Education Resource Committee in the South Lanarkshire, that's the county we live in. I have regular visits to the schools to speak about the Bible. We have debates, and we produce this material, which is the book of the books of the Bible and how the Bible came together, CD-ROM about the Bible, CD-ROM about Easter and Christmas. And you'll be surprised that the government pays for printing of this material. And it is distributed through the educational committee, so that goes through the normal channels of education, if you like. It's approved and agreed. And when we go back to Scotland on Monday afternoon, I'm meeting in people of high school in the area. I'll be meeting about 300 of them, talking about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I got a couple of the appointments for the rest of the week as well. It's a great ministry, actually, to speak to the children in the school, because I feel the cause of the gospel will be won or lost in the classroom. I think that's where it is. And I thank God for the opportunity to go and visit schools. We started a club in the community called Jam Club Jesus and Me. We live in a lovely area in East Kilbride, just outside Glasgow, and there is no church at all in the area. And every time I was coming back from work, seeing the children playing in the grounds, I say, I'd like to communicate the gospel to these children, but how can I do that? If I ask them to come to my church, they won't. So we built gazebos in the area and called it Jam Club for a week. We invited the children to come for games and Bible lessons and memory verses, and they came really very enthusiastically. So we kept going. Now this is our eighth year. We started in 2001, and the ministry started growing. We have activities during the summer where we go around a lake and bring bouncy castles and face painting and all of that, and communicate to the people coming, playing, and we teach them the Word of God. This is some of our picture. That's our big banner, actually, the Jam Club banner. And this is in a car park of a big supermarket. And when I approached the manager to put the banner, he said, it will be vandalized. I said, okay, I'll take the risk. And he stayed for 8 years. This is some of our children, and they are really lovely to see him growing. This is the activity around the loch. And playing with people and talking to them and having fun and teaching them the Word of God. This is a young evangelist telling them the stories and the, acting the stories. And now we move on to the town center. It is the biggest town center in west of Scotland and number 8 in the UK. And I applied to use an empty unit as a sort of jam activity center. And they give me a huge big unit and give it free. The cost of that to rent for a year is about $250,000. And it was given to us free. I don't even pay electricity for the unit. And in this unit, we have different zones, and people can come and play and enjoy games and things like that, but lots of literature. And when Ken Ham and David Menton visited, they came to the unit and they found in the corner that a TV set and the Ministry of Answers in Genesis running on a loop all the time. We have great chats, great discussions, great theological issues discussed here. During Darwin week, in celebration of his birthday, we put a big, huge article on the window of the shop against Darwin, and the atheists came really, really fighting, and they complained to the manager. And I met with the manager, but the Lord reversed all of that, and they are supporting us even more. And we thank God for that, really. It's a wonderful ministry. This is a chill-out zone, when we can come and chat to them in their own terms. Sometimes we ask people to come to our churches and ask them to sing our songs, listen to our way of doing things. But this is not how we should communicate the gospel, because the Lord said, go, and then you can invite them later to learn about the Bible. This is when we open these exhibitions, and we get the people from the council and the press, and they come and they open. That is the Christmas exhibition opening. And that is, we had some competition and we gave them prizes. And again, we use that as a chance to communicate with the local community. Half page in the local newspaper comes about this. And you can see articles like this. I have a big volume of that. And imagine the council is starting to reward me for that, thinking I'm serving the community. So they awarded me with a big reward called the Community Award. And this is the provost, like the mayor, and this is one of the counselors, and they gave me a crystal ball, and my name is engraved, and community award, and things like that. Imagine that. We are just running a Sunday school in the community, and people see that as a big, valuable thing to them. Before we came in, we started the Easter exhibition, which is a wonderful exhibition explaining the victorious entry of the Lord Jesus Christ into Jerusalem, a cross section for the cross, and another section giving all the trials of Jesus, the Last Supper, the death, and the resurrection, and then the empty tomb, a big building with a big stone rolled away. It's wonderful. And the seven seas are displayed in a big, big, huge banner as well, and children could be playing and think, what is these seven seas? And the leaders keep talking to them. I received this email just yesterday, and this is what is produced yesterday in the local newspaper about the opening of the shop and a discovery group, which is a Bible study group running for 14 years. And that's the coverage that we get, and all of that's free. They are selling to an Arab, huh? So we thank God really for all his blessings for us, and we thank you for your support, and we pray that this partnership will continue to take the gospel further and further. Now I'd like to invite Ken Ham and Dr. Crandall to present the translated booklets in Arabic. So this material, this is the prototype. We're still going to produce them and publish them, but this is the first fruit, if you like, of what is to come.